You know, we hear what somebody says, and we'll often try to interpret what they actually meant. I mean, they say something, and well, they can't mean that. So we try to figure out what they mean. And it's become such a common practice that we even do it with the Bible, and especially with the words of Jesus. Words like what Jesus said in John 12:48, where he said, "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I've spoken will condemn them at the last day." But what would happen if we actually accepted the divine inspiration of the Bible, like we say we do, and acted like Jesus meant exactly what he said? That we really would be judged by the words of the Bible. How would that change our study habits, our respect for God's Word, if we really believed that he meant what he said? We all know what Jesus said. I mean, it's written right there in red. For example, he said in Matthew 19:30, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." That doesn't make sense. That's a hard thing to grasp. What most people think about is getting ahead and promoting themselves and their goodness and their accomplishments. But what if he meant just what he said? After all, he said to the religious leaders who put themselves first in their own eyes in Matthew 21:31, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." And he said in Luke 15:7, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." What would we do? How would we view what's really important in our lives if we believed what Jesus said, if we believe he meant exactly what he said? How would he rank our accomplishments and our goodness in importance? And Jesus said in Matthew 19:21, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But parting with things we worked for scares us to death. We look to what we have for security, and we often fail to trust God. We just don't trust that he's able to provide for our needs, and we wonder sometimes about that treasure in heaven. Is there truly going to be a reward for all that we do? But what if Jesus meant exactly what he said? After all, in 1 Timothy 6:7-8, we're told in the Scriptures, "We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." And Jesus said in Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like one of them. If that's how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them." And again, Jesus said in Luke 6:23, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to those who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." Do our actions actually show a confidence and a trust in the Lord to take care of our needs? Are we willing to share what we have with others? Or do we not really believe that Jesus meant what he said, and that we have to worry to make sure we have all the possibilities covered in this life? How would we act differently if we really believed that Jesus meant what he said in Luke 6:27? When he said, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. What if he really meant exactly what he said? Love your enemies. Pray for them. Bless them. Would we be willing to do it? To trust that he knew what he was talking about? Or do we, like so many, try to explain it away as some grand philosophical idea without much practical application for us? The scriptures also tell us in Romans 12:20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, and in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus meant exactly what he said. And he taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Why do we struggle with dealing with wrongs against us when we're told to be loving and forgiving instead? Didn't Jesus say, even while hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing? I mean, it's written right there in red. What if he really meant just what he said? Do you believe it? That forgiving others is the key to being forgiven ourselves? To realize that some people simply don't understand what they're doing? Do you believe that Jesus really meant to forgive and not hold grudges? To forgive and not seek revenge? To forgive and move on doing what's right, regardless of what others might do? And Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Do we think he was just talking to Peter and James and John, or do we believe that call is for us too? He said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. The scriptures call us to be Christ's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do we believe that Jesus meant what he said? And that we too are called to be fishers of men, that he was talking to us and giving us the responsibility to share his word with those we come in contact with? Do we think that he really meant what he said? And in John 3, verses 1 through 7, we read about a Pharisee, a man by the name of Nicodemus, who is a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You see, Nicodemus didn't really think that Jesus meant exactly what he said. He tried to interpret what Jesus was saying. What were you talking about, Jesus? I don't understand it. I don't get it. Do we try to do that too? Do we try to interpret what Jesus said in the light of what we think and what we feel, instead of just accepting what he said as true? Peter expressed the same idea on Pentecost in Acts 2:38 when he said, repent and be baptized, immersed in water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Peter said you must repent and be baptized and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what did Saul do when he was told in Acts 22:16, what are you waiting for, Saul? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. How would it affect our response to the gospel if we really believe that Jesus meant what he said? And exactly what he said? That being born again and baptism is the only way to get into the kingdom of heaven? What would our response to the gospel be if we really believed what Jesus said? And Jesus said in John 14:2-3, my Father's house had many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. And in Mark 8:31, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this. But you see, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying. They couldn't believe that he was really meant what he said, that those things would really happen in the Messiah. So they tried to figure out. They tried to reinterpret what he said. They expected the Messiah to set up an earthly kingdom for them, not some home in heaven. And so they were confused. Lots of people today try to interpret what Jesus said in some way that fits their own narrative. But what would it cause us to do if we believe that Jesus meant exactly what he said? The disciples found out that he did. That exactly what he said was going to happen, happened. And Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 45, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And at the Last Supper, as he was taking the bread and the fruit of the vine, in Luke 22, we read, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. How would it change the way we take the Lord's Supper if we really understood that Jesus said the sacrifices he made were for us? And that those emblems, the bread is his body, the fruit of the vine is his blood. How would our mindset be changed if we understood that Jesus meant exactly what he said, that those things were for us, that he gave his life for us, for you, for me specifically? What if Jesus really meant turn the other cheek? What if he really meant love your enemies? What if he really meant you must be born again? What if he really meant you must be fishers of men? What if he really meant to live in forgiveness and grace? What if he really meant that he prepare us a place? What if he really meant that he'd die for our sins? What if he meant that he'd rise from the dead? We know he said it. It's written right there in red. What change would it make in your life if you really believed that he meant what he said? Do you believe what Jesus said? Do you need to have your sins washed away in baptism or change some area of your life in response to his words? Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Do you love Jesus? Do you understand that he meant exactly what he said? We don't have to interpret it. We don't have to try to explain it away. We don't have to try to put it into what did he really mean. He said exactly what he meant. And those words are going to judge us in the last day. Do you understand that he meant what he said? Won't you come to him now as we stand together and sing our invitation song?